Welcome to this special follow-up program to a satellite CME symposium held in Chicago in June during the annual ASCO meeting. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. For this symposium, we took our meet the professors type approach and focused on a number of major issues in the management of lymphomas, CLL, and multiple myeloma. I met with two of the faculty members who participated in the symposium, Drs. Nupur Rajay and Sonali Smith, and reviewed the discussions and data points discussed in the meeting, as well as a survey given to the audience. Along the way, we also chatted about what happened at ASCO in these various tumor types and the perspective of the faculty on these new data sets. To begin, I met with Dr. Smith to talk about lymphomas and CLL, and she began by providing a broad overview of current management of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma.
Almost 20 years ago, we learned that there's at least two gene expression profiles in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, so two different subtypes hiding in the same histology. And, you know, that was a very exciting and important discovery, and the thought was it would translate to differences in treatment. So there have now been a number of ways to try to improve upon R-CHOP, both for general DLBCL, but then also for these subsets. And what's happened most recently is that there have been a number of trials that focus specifically on what was considered the poor prognosis group, the non-germinal center diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So we've had the Pyramid trial, which was R-CHOP with or without bortezomib. We've had the Phoenix trial, which is R-CHOP with or without ibrutinib. And literally, as we speak, the Robust trial is being presented, which is R-CHOP with or without lenalidomide. And all of these trials, I think, you know, the big picture finding is that there hasn't been a huge difference in outcome. In other words, R-CHOP remains the standard of care. And I think there's a lot of reasons for this. One is that the studies use different ways to determine who has non-germinal center diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, and I think that may be important. The other piece that's increasingly important is that in general, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma patients are sick patients. And yet the ones that go on to the trials, there is this inadvertent selection bias. So that if you are stable enough to wait for the registration, to wait until you've gone through eligibility, and then to start, you've already selected the best of the worst disease, if you will. And so I think it's going to be harder to show a difference in that population. One thing I saw this morning, maybe just on Twitter, was that at least for the Robust trial, the median time from diagnosis to actually starting therapy was a month. And so you think about this in your clinical practice, and you know, most diffuse large B-cell lymphoma patients can't wait a month. So automatically that tells you a little bit about the people who are on the trial.
And when you talked about the Robust trial, again, reflecting the incredible rapidity of things changing, because again, 2 weeks ago we were talking about this, all we had was a press release. And as you mentioned, I guess what, at the EHA meeting, they're presenting the data now?
That's correct. There's the Lugano meetings and the EHA meetings, both of which are essentially this week and next.
Right. And anything more to say about the strategy of adding novel therapy in? Your kind of global thought that it doesn't look that exciting is important to note, but is it kind of a dead issue? I know there's been issues about the selection of patients or maybe the way the trials were actually executed in terms of, I guess with the ibrutinib, there was the issue of older versus younger patients. Is there anything there or is it time to move on?
Yeah, no, you're raising some really, really important points. I mean, for one thing, you mentioned the issue of age, and I think, you know, what we know about diffuse large B-cell lymphoma is that it's incredibly heterogeneous. And so the Phoenix trial, for example, included both younger and older patients. And one of the subset analyses showed that in older patients, the addition of ibrutinib not only didn't help, but may have been detrimental, whereas in the younger patient, the addition of ibrutinib to R-CHOP seemed very promising. So it may be that when we design these trials, we either have to stratify or pre-plan for some of these subsets.